All right. It is 1 week from the mayoral election.
Can you believe it?
Yes.
Finally here.
Yes, I can, because I'm seeing the commercials. And I got to say, there are some commercials I just do not understand. The LaShawn Ford commercial, I can't figure it out. I'm not sure what he's... At some point, I'm like, oh, yeah. He's running for mayor. John Fritchie, former Cook County Commissioner, now just an attorney, is... And thank God for that, because that Cook County Commissioner job, I never... You know, I've known you a long time, John. I never liked that job. You're going to tell us what you think is happening here. I'm going to make the prediction of who's going to win a week from tonight.
Ooh.
You're a brave soul.
Yep. I got it all figured out.
I feel like anything could happen in this race.
I want you to write it down right now. Write it down right now. You ready?
All right, let's write it down.
What is today? Today is the 20th. No, 19th. 19th of February. 19th mm-hmm. of February.
1 week for election day.
1 week to go.
Okay.
The two top contenders with less than 50% plus one will be Bill Daley and Willie Wilson. That is my prediction, and I'm standing by it.
Here's the problem. I've been to the Arlington Million with you.
You know,
I've listened to your predictions.
That's true. You were at Maywood Park even with me once.
How'd that go?
Yeah, it didn't go well. We were like in ninth grade and we shouldn't have been there. All right, so let's talk about, tell me why I'm wrong.
I'm not positive that you're wrong. I mean, this thing is so wide open right now that I don't think anybody can say anything with a certainty. I mean, you're talking about a situation where...
Which of the top four, though, are Daley, Preckwinkle, Mendoza, and Wilson?
I don't know about that. I think Lori Lightfoot, who I think a lot of people were discounting a few weeks ago, has been coming on strong at the right time.
The NBC poll, it put her up highest that we've seen.
The NBC poll, she's getting a lot of press. She got a gift handed to her yesterday when she got her press conference crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, it's coming together. It's really who does this at the, you know, really at the end. I've said from the beginning, Willie Wilson probably has 10% of the vote baked in from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to start to say, who are their alternatives? I think the one reason why you may not get what a lot of people are predicting, which is a Preckwinkle-Daley matchup, is that a lot of people are going to say just that. I don't want a Preckwinkle-Daley matchup, so I'm going to go to somebody else who's viable. So who do they see as viable? Probably Mendoza. Possibly Lightfoot.
I think that all splits itself up. That all goes down into a sieve, essentially. And I think that's one of the things. Now, we had John Cass on yesterday. John Cass is, you know, a firm believer that it's a matchup race and that some of these people are in this just to suck votes away from other people.
I'm shocked he sees a conspiracy.
That never happens.
That has never happened in this town, especially if you run for judge and there's four guys
outrageous
with the same last name. But I wonder if there is some magic to that. I think that Daley is spending the most amount of money.
He just got another $1 million from billionaire hedge fund Ken Griffin.
It's good to have friends.
Another million. So he's up at over $8 million. How much does money matter here at this final stretch?
Well, this late stretch, I mean, all the candidates have bought the airtime that they're going to buy. Ro, I think you're right as far as who hurts.
Oh,
who
you can
right
preempt.
Now, as far as who hurts who right now, you know, again, you know, every vote, let's say that it's coming out of the 19th ward, and they're leading in the early voting. You know, those are Jerry Joyce voters. Those Jerry Joyce voters may well have been Bill Daley voters before they were going to be Preckwinkle or Mendoza or Lightfoot voters.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing that, I think, in a lot of different areas. But again, polling is meaningless right now. I think that the money is somewhat meaningless, and it's who can get the biggest chunk out of the undecided voters. 20% of the voters are undecided.
And where do you think that undecided number there? That's kind of across the board, though, right? So their motivations all may be different.
I would say that if you look at the candidates that are up in the top tier, I think Preckwinkle voters have been with her from the beginning, and you really haven't seen her numbers fluctuate at all. Probably the same thing could be said about Bill Daley.
I think that's one of her problems.
That's just it. So when you look at the undecideds, I don't think you're going to see a lot of undecideds who suddenly find themselves drawn to Tony Preckwinkle or necessarily to Bill Daley. So these are people that are looking at what are my alternatives to what they see as the past.
Okay, here's where I'm going to disagree with you. That, yes, I agree with the premise that undecideds are probably not going to break with the bigger names unless they go to the safety play. And I think that more people will go to Bill Daley on the safety play than will go to Tony Preckwinkle on the safety play, which puts him in the top two. I think.
I think that's right. It's tough for somebody at the last minute to say, you know what, I like the person who raised a half billion in sales taxes, tried to do $200 million in soda taxes. That's not where they're going to want to go.
Yeah, right. I mean, there for a lot of reasons. And he's coming out. I think there's a lot of people who are, they want a steady hand here. They realize that, you know, voters, despite the fact that politicians constantly talk down to voters and think that they're stupid, there are... And yes, there are a lot of stupid people out there. I know it. I'm one of them. But there are people who are sophisticated who think and stop and you know want they live in the city or they live wherever they live. They want their streets to be safe, clean, schools good, that kind of stuff. We do not want to be Detroit, even though Detroit's on the comeback. We don't want to be in a situation like that.
Well.
And that's where you go, and that's where, you know, sort of the father figure starts to play into this play.
Well, I think the biggest or the most impressive thing to me, I've said this the last couple of times on the show, is Bill Daley getting so many people not to look at him as a Daley, but to look at him kind of in his own right, which a lot of people, myself included, didn't think was going to be able to happen.
Well, I think he's playing himself as a different Daley. Not as he's not, you know, totally giving up the Daley thing because he needs that imprimatur of being a guy who's got people and don't worry, they're ready on day one. There won't be any issues here. Right. I'm good. I'm solid.
But now, I'm not a career politician, is what he's saying. Like my family members.
Right. I didn't take a dime yet. Is basically what he's saying. And so now you go to, and I don't think Preckwinkle is going to have that. And I think you're going to see some shenanigans next week. Still a story. It depends. I mean, I think for the general, people were waiting on if Tony were in the general to start dropping some of these other stories about things that are going on in her, you know, in the county and her office and stuff like that. You just wonder if there's polling that shows that she's close. If you see that next week, Mendoza. Mendoza was my sort of my hot take early on.
She was your early pick. That's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm. Then I thought that she's, you know, she seemed to have the organization. Why isn't she as and we don't know yet where she's going to end up, but I don't think she's run the kind of race I expected her to.
Well, I'll disagree with you in part. She came out to a strong start. I think she stumbled by getting put on defense, but I think she couldn't have predicted. The Solis thing, the Burke thing, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I really think that the Burke thing really got blown somewhat out of proportion with her, but I think she's really turned it around. She's come on strong. If you watched the debate last night, I think she came across as the clear winner. And that's why I think Susanna's in a really nice position now, because a lot of people who don't want to see a Daley Preckwinkle matchup per se are going to look, and they're going to look at the polls and the stories and say, who's the most viable person that can keep that from happening? And I think a lot of people are going to go to Susanna, and that's why I talk about the importance of the undecideds right now.
You said we know Preckwinkle has the name recognition, and you said baked in support. Do you think she's been damaged by this process? Has she lost momentum at all because of what's been happening and the attacks against her as well as a front runner?
Oh, I think she definitely has. I mean, keep in mind, you know, her past couple of elections, she ran against Todd Strozier, then against Bob Fioretti. That's not this kind of race, and she's been taking what is the smart and safe route, which is really just staying out of sight, not doing interviews.
Yeah,
and just kind of keeping her head down. But, you know, it's going to happen in the runoff, assuming she makes the runoff. There's a lot of stuff out there. You know, there's nobody in this field or probably in politics that you can't find some baggage on or tie them to something. But when you've been in office for almost a quarter century like she has, there's going to be a lot of things out there.
She's like that, those airport vehicles that have all the bags on them, you know, to pull up to the plane. She's like four of them with 747s right now because the county is a mess in a lot of ways. And there's and things that may not even be in her purview are going to get attached to her for this. So that's, I think I think you're going to see, I think some of that's going to start spilling out next week late. Although there may be this thought that if you just mention her name, that draws attention to her.
Well, that's part of it. And, you know, things are different with early voting now. You can't necessarily wait until right before Election Day to drop
some
bomb.
What's the percentage, do you think? Do you know?
For turnout or early voting?
Early voting.
Early voting's running just behind where it has in the last cycle.
Which is about what percentage of the vote?
I couldn't even, you know.
25% or something.
I was going to say in the low 20s.
Yeah.
But they, you know, it's always the last week that is the...
Could be consequential in this,
though. Is the heaviest week. Oh, absolutely.
And Willie Wilson. Let's talk about Willie Wilson.
Dr. Wilson.
Mm-hmm. He has been in these debates. He's fun. He's interesting. He is. There's no more genuine a human running for any of this. You see everybody a little bit hiding behind their own eyes. Not Willie Wilson. And I think that there are people who are going to vote for him. I think that the if African-Americans in the city of Chicago are looking for someone to vote for, I don't think they necessarily track with Tony as much as they will with Willie Wilson. And on a low turnout election, which this might be depending on the weather next week, the churches motivate. The churches always, they provide transportation, they provide the buses, they get the people out to the polling places, and he has, I think he's locked up the church vote.
He can do that, and even though Dorothy Brown endorsed Amara, you got to keep in mind that, you know, Dorothy has her segment of voters as well, and I will guarantee you that Dorothy is not telling those people to vote for Tony.
Right. So wherever they're going
to go. I just wonder, because you don't have an incumbent, and you have so many candidates, and there's been so much more interest because it doesn't feel like there's one shoo-in here or anything like that, that I wonder if we'll see more turnout. Do you think it'll be higher than usual?
Well, I thought the early voting would have been higher, not just because of this race, but you've got some hotly contested mayoral races as well.
Aldermanic races.
Aldermanic.
Yeah, those two.
Yeah.
up on the north side, and those numbers really haven't been that high, but will say that this will be close enough that I think, you know, we will not have the answer on Tuesday night.
I'll tell you.
Interesting.
Oh, very interesting prediction.
I think you're going to be looking at absentee ballots, potentially a recount. There's going to be a really small number, but I think, of votes between number two and number three.
Let me throw something at you. I think that we're going to have there's going to be lower turnout, because I think of that 40% that's now undecided, that half of them don't show up because they just don't know what to do.
Well, it's 20% undecided, and let's assume that the turnout among them is the same turnout as the rest of the field who have gotten behind candidates. But, you know, you're right. There could be folks in that undecided where they say, you know what,
they have aldermen that are already in there.
They're like, I got nothing.
Right.
But when you do these polls, they're supposed to be likely voters. So before you even get to the candidate choices, they say, you know, do you intend on voting?
John Fritchie, could you hold on 1 second for us? Because I want to ask you about the city treasurer race that nobody knows anything about, except it's interesting. There is a guy in this race that is kind of nationally famous because he made a big stand. And he was on this show a number of times. He was on CNN. He was on other places. So it's kind of... And what does the treasurer do in the first place? John will be able to answer that question.
Thank God somebody
can. I'm hoping. No man has lived or breathed Chicago politics like John Fritchie has, and he will explain that to us coming up in just a moment. He's choking to death on it right now as we speak. Let's check in with Ryan Burrow.
Okay?
What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Governor Pritzker says his administration is reviewing how the gunman who killed 5 coworkers in Aurora Warehouse got his weapon.
Ryan Burrow has got the WGN News coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Just a few minutes. John Fritchie is with us. The Honorable John Fritchie is what his title is, which has always freaked me out. He, former state rep, former Cook County Commissioner, now an attorney. Always an attorney, I suppose. Now, let me ask you this question, John, as we get ready here. The city treasurer's race, I'm seeing commercials for these people whose names I do not know. It's Pawar. He was an alderman, right?
Still is.
I'm confusing him with some other dude that I thought was nationally known. And then this Melissa
Conyers Irvin,
and she's Jason Irvin's wife, right?
She may like to say that, you know, Jason's her husband.
Yes.
So she is a state rep right now on the west side of the city. Her husband's the alderman in that area as well.
All right. So power couple.
Peter Garapi
rhymes with therapy. He's a CPA in the race. He ran for Cook County Treasurer against Maria Pappas in the last cycle and is in this race right now. And then, again, you know, Alderman Pawar, who has my respect. He said he was going to run for 2 terms as alderman. He did that. His second term's finishing up. And
Voluntarily stepped aside.
He's running for this now. He's brought forward some interesting ideas as far as a public bank. And really, so getting to, you know, what the treasurer does.
And ran for governor for 14 minutes.
He ran for governor briefly. Mm-hmm. Listen, I, you know, in full disclosure, you know, I think the absolute world of Amaya. I've worked alongside him. I know who he is personally. And so yeah. That's that. I've got nothing but good things to say about him. But the job of the treasurer.
Yeah, what do they do?
It's really, you're investing in being the safeguarder of the city's funds before they disappear one way or the other.
But, do we have funds?
So, and what does the city clerk do? Wait, yeah. Very quickly, I got about a minute left. What is, all right, so I'm looking at the ballot. So you got all these people running for mayor. Right? You got to figure out who they are. Then you got the city clerk.
City stickers, dog tags, things along those lines.
All right, and we got three people I never heard of.
Anna Valencia and two others who have arguably been thrown off the ballot already. The challenges are still pending.
All right, oh so gosh. Anna Valencia is the legit, as far as you're concerned?
Absolutely, and she would be even if she had the opponents.
Okay. Oh, all right. And then you get your different ward. And you people are on your own when it comes to the wards because you know the crooks that you put in there before. Hey, why is it such a big deal up in 50 with Joe Moore? I've never seen Aldermanic commercials like I'm seeing up there.
Joe's in 49.
And, I mean, that's what I meant.
No, it's a fascinating race. The woman he's running against actually used to be a supporter of his and felt that he went kind of too much towards siding with
him. But they're spending real money. Where are they getting that money?
They're spending real money. He's been an aggressive fundraiser for a long time. And I see him all the time right now on CNN, I think ESPN.
Why? And, but these jobs don't pay that much. How powerful is an alderman? Wait, I already know the answer to that. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry for even asking. All right, John, we'll talk to you a couple times now before the election next Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's right around the corner. We've got Ryan Burrow in the WGN newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.